Hey friends, welcome to my Edge of Fate armor PowerPoint. I don't know what I'm going to title this video. I don't know about the thumbnail. I'm going to try to speak in a way that is friendly to commuters and those doing chores. In today's video, we're going to answer how to get tier 5 armor, what to keep, what to delete, what armor set bonuses are the best, can I compete with just tier 1 armor? Now, I have been keeping a time investment log during Edge of Fate, and its purpose is to track the amount of time spent doing unfun activities to give an accurate time estimation of the grind. Farming armor is easier and better than in the old system. The old system required more luck hoops to jump through to get a competitive build put together. Almost all the best endgame builds came from the same activity, the Grasp of Avarice final boss on Master difficulty. You basically just had to pray the single activity would drop an armor piece with both a random high stat total and also a random high stat spike in your preferred two stats. The old system had many convoluted rules to how the armor stats typically dropped, and you can see an example of a 30 mobility, 30 strength one on screen, and it could take an entire weekend to see a single piece like that. Luckily, the new armor system cuts down on RNG. First, you have to get the armor piece you want, like you want gloves, it's a 1 out of 5. But there are guaranteed reward paths now, like if you go into the portal, it might be a glove day during the Whisper mission. Second, you have to get the archetype you want. There's 6 archetypes. But ghost mod focusing does work, and it's been reported it's about a 25% chance that it focuses. Third, you have to get the tertiary stat you want. Fourth, you have to get the tuning stat you want on tier 5 armor. But only health and super are favorable for most competitive builds, so realistically, you need 2 out of the 6, or can use 2 out of the 6. The new system has fixed stat totals and exactly the same spike stat distribution numbers. So if you were just going on raw odds, it would be like 1 out of 720, which sounds really terrible and almost comparable to the previous system. But when you adjust it for focusing and the ghost mod and the likelihood of it being competitive, it's really just a 1 out of 48, which is significantly better than the old system. Because in the old system, you have to get the armor piece you wanted, like if you wanted gloves. Then you have to get a high stat roll, right? I put 1 out of 30 there because I'm just trying to remember. It's probably not accurate, but it felt like it took forever to get something that wasn't a 62 roll. 68, I believe, was the highest back in the day. So typically you got somewhere in between that. But to get to like 66, 67, 68, yeah, I would say it was about 1 in 30. Third, you had to get the spikes you want. And the way the armor rules work back in the day, I'm not going to go into it. Just know that there's 9 permutations there. Then the spike distributions had to be an exact certain number, since in the old system, you only got a cooldown benefit if you hit at or over a multiple of 10. So for example, if you were at 89 mobility, it's the same as 80 mobility. But as soon as you get to 90, you strafe faster. And then the ghost mod only controlled a minimum of a spike, guaranteeing 10. So not as much control. Since I never deleted old perfect armor in my vault, and I know how many times I ran the activity, I can guesstimate the odds were about 1 in 50 for a maxed armor piece with high splits, but that doesn't mean the roll was competitive, because in most PvP builds back in the day, you had to have a spike of recovery and a spike of super. And if it was not that, it was very unlikely to be used in a traditional competitive build. In either system, the RNG is bleak enough that you had to settle. Essentially, you reach the same end goal by combining different armor pieces that you obtain along the way until it fits into your build. For those going for absolutely perfect builds, the new system gives more realistic combinations to reach that, along with better odds overall. Not to mention, coincidentally, most of the best PvP armor is passively obtained by just playing PvP, which is eons better than killing Captain Avarok for the 789th time. Let's go over the new armor system recap. On screen right now, you see this is an example of the Bulwark armor archetype, which is the most desirable in my opinion. The archetype determines what two stats are guaranteed to have big spikes. As you can see, Bulwark has a health symbol and a class symbol. The health is the big spike with plus 30 on tier 5 armor, and then the secondary stat is plus 25, and you can see that that is class. For the remaining stats, one of those is chosen randomly. It's called the tertiary stat, and it gets plus 20. And the stat you mostly want for tertiary is super. There are six archetypes of armor. Bulwark, Health Main, Class 2nd. Grenadier, Grenade Main, Super 2nd. Brawler, Melee Main, Health 2nd. Gunner, Weapons Main, Grenade 2nd. Paragon, Super Main, Melee 2nd. Specialist, Class Main, Weapons 2nd. Armor set bonuses. Wearing two of the four of the same armor gives a set bonus with various benefits. For example, the two-set Bushido armor bonus is plus 40 health for swapping weapons before a weapon kill. You can see all the set bonuses at lightgg.com/armor/set bonuses. What are the best PvP set bonuses? I strongly recommend combining any of the healing armor sets together, which are Bushido from Pinnacle Activities, Iron Banner set, it's called Vigilant Watch. As your health gets lower, your weapons gain increased stability and handling. Weapon final blows, while your shields are depleted, heal you. And then, the Disaster Core armor from PvP, Please Herd. Reloading an auto rifle, scout rifle, or sidearm after a final blow slowly restores health until you re-enter combat. I'll talk more about filler armor sets to use while you farm your ultimate endgame armor later in the video, as well as silly armor set combos. What is the difference between Tier 1 and Tier 5 armor? While Tier 5s have more base stats, they're guaranteed a maximum of 75 and always roll that way, as well as they have a random tuned stat. So what is a stat tune? You can see this symbol. This is called a tuning symbol, and it randomly attaches to a stat. Tier 4 armor and below does not have the tuning stat, but Tier 5 armor does have the tuning stat, and typically you're going to want this to land in health or super. So for example, on a screen right now, you can see my helmet has a tuning stat of health, and I can select plus 5 health, minus 5 weapons. Typically on a competitive build, weapons is either the most useful stat or the least useful stat. So in this case, I'm very happy to minus 5 weapons to get plus 5 health. Do you need tier 5 armor to compete? Not at all. You unlock the ability to farm Tier 5 armor when you reach 451 power level, which might be too much of an investment to justify the grind. Tier 4 armor is very realistic to obtain with minimal playtime. Tier 4 armor can be used with some smart build crafting to overcome its slight stat deficit compared to Tier 5, although you might get bored of only being able to functionally compete with a few Tier 4 builds. Later down the road when you unlock Tier 5 builds, you'll have the extra armor stats to afford to make sillier, more fun, and customizable builds that can also sometimes compete. Then, sorry for the drivers out there, this isn't really important, but there's a stat spread of a Tier 4 armor set that's min-maxed, and a stat spread of a Tier 5 armor set that's min-maxed, and you can see the difference there. The biggest difference is the staggering 40 from grenade, where Tier 4 has a 50 grenade, and Tier 5 has a 90 grenade. That's probably the biggest difference. Other than that, almost everything else is the same. Tier 4 armor PvP build optimized example. And I have this in game, I have footage of it, and I'm going to drop a video of that in the future in the upcoming days. So what you see on screen is 178 health, 70 super, 90 melee. It's a fantastic build. It smartly utilizes the exotic class item with the Harmony perk. So that means as long as my weapons match my super element, in this case, I'm using a solar shotgun in the kinetic slot called Conditional Finality, and a solar hand cannon from Iron Banner, which just recently got buffed in its stats, so it's actually fantastic now. And as I get these kills in-game, it gives me a giant chunk of super energy, so even though I only have 70 super, it's the exact amount I need to leave any Trials of Osiris match, pretty much having the first super still, as long as I just play averagely. So I don't need 100 super to keep up. Then I'm also using Devour. If I get an ability kill and then get a follow-up kill, that offsets the low grenade stat. I'm also using Lightning Surge with the heavy-handed mod on my gloves, which means if I secure a kill, it drops an orb. If I pick up that orb, the health font on my chest piece makes me 200 health. And a lot of my opening plays are just tapping them once with the hand cannon and flying forward with Lightning Surge. I'm serious, if I had the same Tier 5 armor versus the Tier 4, I guarantee y'all could not tell the difference in gameplay, Because it's functionally the same. If you're settling with Tier 4 armor, then you need to look out for Bulwark Armor Archetype with a tertiary stat in Super. Your final build will consist of three or more of identical copies to this armor. The remaining two armor pieces will be Grenadier or Paragon with a health tertiary, or just Brawler armor in general for melee builds. Your final Tier 4 stat split will look like this, or better, where you're close to 200 health, close to 200, to 100 super, but not quite. There are some subclass fragments that can help push both stats, like on Stasis, you could use Whisper of Conduction, which gives plus 10 health and plus 10 super. This website can also help you theorycraft armor builds. Armor3.0.streamlit.app. It's a build finding app where you can select your like tier 5 pieces, your tier 4 pieces, and then just see what exists out there, what could possibly drop. Then it finds the build, and then it tells you what armor pieces you need to make that build happen. That way, when you're farming out in the wild, you can sort of have a checklist. How to get to 451 power level, my recommended route. Finish the main campaign on one character. Only do portal activities that are fun. I like PvP, so I just played PvP. Before the mid-season update, it took 140 hours of Caldera to reach 450. This is because after 400, I believe it was like a 1 out of 20 chance to get an armor piece that progressed you, so it took significantly longer. After the mid-season update, you can pretty much just play PvP for about 90 to 110 hours to get to 451, and even less hours if you don't swap characters, and if you shuffle activities that specifically have bonus drops, and then you use pinnacle rewards from Zavala to make sure that maybe, like, let's say your legs are the lowest power, then you go to Zavala, buy a pinnacle for legs, and it's like you skipped a string of bad luck. And if you keep doing that week after week, it's going to shave off a lot of hours. Then also PvP, Trials of Osiris is both faster and more rewarding than regular PvP. Could save you 20 or 30 hours just to having a bigger population, faster queue, faster matches, because most matches are blowouts, as well as the frequent pinnacles dropping and the lighthouse chest. How to get to 451 power continued. What if you're just getting back into Destiny? Is it realistic that you'll be able to reach 451 power level and still have time to farm the best gear? On October 14th, Bungie will give away a reward chest that gives a free 300 power loot set. That means you'll have 49 days till the power reset in Renegades. Ideally, you're going to give yourself 2 weeks to casually farm the loot, because it would suck to get the ability to get tier 5s and then have it just reset and you start from zero after all that grind, especially if you were doing the unfun route. So realistically, you only have 35 days to reach max power from the October 14th. Is 35 days enough time to reach 451? It'll take about 500 PvP matches plus a 7-hour campaign. That is 13 hours of playtime per week, only doing things you find fun. If you optimize your grind by doing unfun chores and taking extra attention to be doing fast activities with bonus rewards and redeeming powerful specific rewards like from Zavala, you'll genuinely decrease the hours played 3 to 4-fold. And I know that's a lot of time. I'm only calculating this so you can be real with your time investment. If that amount of time investment doesn't seem worth it, there'll be a section of the video that optimizes tier 4 builds for you, since that will almost be free to obtain. How to get to 400. Okay, we're already on this. My bad. I'm not editing this. If you're choosing the PvP fun only route, then I strongly recommend you farm out a single build that you'll enjoy playing for upwards of 600 plus matches. I did that many matches because I kept swapping characters. Like every 5 matches, I'd switch from a hunter to warlock, and then I'd have to level all my warlock's armor pieces again, and then I'd do it on Titan. So I wasted a lot of PvP matches doing this. So if you hop characters, it's going to take longer. Since when starting out, you'll only have access to tier 1 and old armor, I'll remind us here of a previous video I made detailing optimized tier 1 PvP builds. So for sixes, actually in general for tier 1 armor, you pretty much have to choose between either having health or weapons or super. You can't really have all three. So for sixes, you want health plus passive bonuses. Passive bonuses meaning something that you don't need a cooldown for. So Renewal Grasp, needs a cooldown for the dust field nade. It's not passive. But Stompies, you can always sprint and slide. You don't need a cooldown. Knucklehead, you can always see your radar. No cooldown. And then a consistent weapon that doesn't require the weapon stat. Cremel's Dagger is a perfect example. You don't need the weapon stat to make a Adagio 2-tap, so just use that. If you're going the health route, you want Bulwark Armor. That's what you're looking for, so set your Ghost up for that. The next idea is you go for something with a weapon stat, with a specific weapon like a Target Lock Abyss Defiant with at least 185 weapon stat. And again, I recommend a passive bonus like Knucklehead Radar. And in this case, Abyss Defiant goes from, I believe, a 0.83 time to kill to a 0.67. You're going to want to set the Ghost to the Gunner focus. Then, if you're playing a lot of Trials, you just want to go for your Super, and you're probably going to be able to get to a high class as well. So 100 Super, 100 class. Throw on something like Wormhusk, and then use a Heal Clip weapon or Rat King. Your Ghost could be set to Paragon or Specialist, and you might even use some old armor here. As for healing weapons, there's Rat King. Crimson with 190 weapons and Radiant can 2-burst, although I used this the other day and was not impressed. I kept getting flinched off target. Surus Regime can also get a TTK shift at 200 weapons with 22 remaining in the magazine. Red Death exists, but it's an aggressive, so it's maybe not as consistent as it used to be since they got nerfed. Then Heal Clip Solar Weapons. Abyss Defiant is a pretty good weapon even without target lock, but there are a lot. Even Finite Impact or Hand Cannon just got buffed, and it also has Heal Clip. So you can get pretty creative here and still go flawless in Trials. Yes, with Tier 1 armor. Yes, beating players with Tier 5 armor. As for healing exotics that exist for Warlock and Titan, there is Stag, Astrocyte, and Seacant. For Titan, there's Precious Scars, Mask of the Quiet One, One-Eyed Mask, and Crest of Alpha Loopy. I want to elaborate on Astrocyte. I think it's a passive healing exotic because if you set up the fragments right, you can blink near somebody, make them volatile, kill them, they drop a Void Breach, then pick up the Void Breach for Devour. Therefore, you activate a Devour with a jump ability, which doesn't have a cooldown. You always have it. Exotic armor that skips cooldowns. There's Radiant Dance Machines. Get a primary kill, you get your whole dodge, as long as you didn't use your dodge previously. Insurmountable Skullforge. Use your shoulder charge to get the kill, get the shoulder charge back. I believe at 190 melee, maybe 200 melee, you can just outright one-hit people, especially if you have knockout proc'd. Then there's Omnioculus. Slam your team with the smoke, has to be two teammates near you, and you get the whole smoke back. Where to farm a starter set of tier 1 armor. Depending on what PvP build route you chose, whether that's 6's health, 6's weapons, or trials for super, I strongly advise swapping your ghost mod to reflect the archetype of armor you're going for. That was your second reminder. If Iron Banner is available close to when you watch this video, just wait and play that to obtain the Iron Banner 4-piece set bonus that gives anti-flinch. If not, then your best bet is to farm a couple Bushido armor pieces from the Pinnacle Ops playlist in the portal. Use that Bushido and or Iron Banner 2-set bonus to play PvP, where you'll get both the Disaster Core and Last Discipline armor as PvP rewards. The Disaster Core gives you healing after an auto rifle, sidearm, or scout rifle kill, then reload, and Last Discipline is faster primary reload after a primary weapon kill. You can also play Trials of Osiris once reaching 200 power, which drops a useful 2-piece armor set bonus that gives health for picking up an ammo brick. And it might be a significant amount, like 70 health, so this might even be part of the big 3, the big 4 now. Now that you have a build, just have fun until 451 power. Then the real grind begins. Make a proper PvE build since you'll be spending a lot of time in PvE. My recommendations for Titan are Consecration Spam, Frenzy Blade Spam, or if you're in the raid a lot, Peacekeeper SMG with Finality's Augur with the Catalyst. Hunter, Prismatic Gifted Conviction for damage resistance, or if you're in a raid setting, Star Eater Goldie Spam to keep everyone else Thunder Crashing. Warlock, either you're going to copy the Titan's Consecration build, but you do it with Lightning Surge, or you're going to drop a well at the boss, be on Tractor Cannon duty, and doing filler damage from weapons or Apotheosis Veil abilities or something like that. I don't know, man, just do what Aegis says. The best PvP armor sets are Ion Adapter, which is damage resistance for an explosive sidearm or explosive pulse rifle kill. And if you want to get this very easily, search Kepler Loot Cave on YouTube and just pick something that explains it nicely. Basically, You kill enemies in a cave and they drop the armor, as well as if you do it way later down the line when you're 450 plus and then you pick up all the upgrades and whatnot, it all drops as tier 5 stuff. So you can get that amazing pulse rifle the last Thursday. Tier 5. Have a good chance at a perfect roll. I need to re-review it. I have the perfect roll now. The other armor set you want to look out for is Smoke Jumper. Damage resistance for picking up an orb of light. You get this from solo or fireteam ops in the portal. If you immediately want tier 5 Bushido armor right when you hit 451, then the only realistic activity to run is the Whisper Pinnacle op. Otherwise, just keep playing PvP until 470-ish power for very comfortable modifiers on other missions. This is because, for whatever reason, the higher your level is, the more base score or something like that you start with, so the less modifiers you need, so the faster you complete the activity, and the less your teammates groan at you for dragging them down. So if you set the modifiers till the reward bar looks like a B plus and a half or higher, it'll eventually give you an A when you complete the activity because of the activity clear score bonus that tips the bar to the next reward tier, where you'll get tier 5 armor as a drop. So even if it's not A, you can still get it with B plus. But I don't have enough vault space to hold all that armor. If you wanted every realistic competitive permutation of 3 full sets on all characters, you'd already be at like 800 spaces used. Instead, I'm going to oversimplify what to keep and give you the reasoning why. Tier 5 endgame PvP builds. For the generic 200 health, 100 super builds, you're going to want 3 or 4 of the Bulwark archetype with super tertiary, and then the tuning is pretty much all on health, but also keep super just in case there's a fringe build in the super. Then you're going to add one of the following to finish out that build, depending on if you want to throw grenades or melee more. So you want one Grenadier, tertiary health, tuning health, or super. Or a Paragon, tertiary health, tuning, health, or super. Then finally, a Brawler, tertiary super, tuning, you guessed it, health, or super. For 200 melee builds, maybe the 190 melee glaive build, the archetype is Brawler, tertiary super. And then the tuning can be very flexible. It could pretty much be anything. But since I want to cut down on the vault space used, I'm prioritizing melee here because if I'm going to do a melee build, it's going to be a big melee build. For 200 weapons build, I recommend the archetype Gunner, Tertiary, Super, and tuning weapons or Super. But if you're a Sixes demon who doesn't use their Super or doesn't play Trials, then maybe go for health. And super ter instead of super tertiary, and then also go for health tuning. The reasoning is, let's say you're using something like a round robin with kill clip. You only need 135 weapons, which means if you went all into health on these gunners, you could end up with like 150 something health and have a very nice min-max between the two. And the same concept as melee builds applies to grenade builds. Although I don't think you can currently create one-hit sticky grenade builds until Warlocks get the intrinsic grenade damage bonus update. Not sure when that is. I don't read the articles anymore. But instead of remembering all that, you can just copy-paste this into Destiny Item Manager. And the paste bin is in the description if you want to copy-paste there. So yeah, copy-paste this into the search bar, and then it's just going to show you all of the stuff that fits that criteria. Then you can hit the three dots on the top right corner and tag as keep so you don't accidentally delete them. Effectively, what I'm doing is telling Dim to keep only the pieces that have the highest likelihood of being used in your future builds. That doesn't mean you should automatically delete anything that doesn't appear in the search. Keep alternative roles until you actually make the build. If vault space gets tight, you can always make every build you want, then delete the excess armor pieces. I'll teach you how to quickly value assess and get rid of old armor 1.0 and 2.0 in a future slide. As for cleaning out duplicate armor in the vault, use this website, tier5.report. Tier 5 endgame PvP builds continued. Ability cooldowns get significant diminishing returns in the mid-70s to 100. You will mix all of these armor sets for min-maxing a stat like 72 class. For example, even though you don't care about a 190 melee glaive build, keep the brawler armor anyway if it fits the tertiary and the tuning. In other cases like Void Hunter, you take a lot of fragments that minus class ability, Therefore, you'd want mostly Bulwark armor to reach that fabled 72 class that is min-maxed. A tangent on the old mobility stat. The old mobility stat became the new weapon stat. And so, to make up for this, they added a boot mod called Enhanced Athletics. If you wear one, it's plus 30 mobility, two, plus 20 for the second, and three, plus 10 for the third. Titan and Warlocks have base 30 mobility, while Hunters currently have base 40. But in the future, Hunters will be updated to have base 100. Supposedly, there is a new cap of 130 mobility under the hood. Only a few setups in the game can reach this. However, in my testing, I found that Radiant Dance Machine's bonus of plus 30 doesn't actually work. And this might already be fixed if you're watching this video in the future. And while testing all this, I stumbled on a really cool bug. If you equip the lightweight weapon on Radiant Dance Machines, you not only get the plus 30 you're supposed to get from Radiant Dance Machines, you also add the plus 20 from lightweight, and it goes beyond the cap of 130 mobility, reaching 150. So I was running Radiant Dance Machines with the Mida mini tool, just the mini tool and no Land Beyond, and I was zooming. I'm addicted to this build. And I'm putting this tangent here as a reference point for build crafters, but also to ask Bungie to just let this be a feature, at the very least for backpedaling. If Titans can run around with a one-hit kill Giga Lunging Network Teleporting Glaive, then surely my Space God can walk backwards fast enough to ensure the use of a primary weapon. Here are the numbers on screen. How to clean your old 1.0 and 2.0 armor from your vault. For a vault cleaning too long didn't read summary, you can safely delete any old armor with a class spike. Besides the fabled super and weapons combo for contest raids, eventually new armor set bonuses will offer more benefits than having a higher stat line. A reminder of what the impossible combos were on screen now, keep in mind these had to have a 21 spike to be considered illegal. This is the copy-paste command. You're basically searching for old artifice armor that has spikes higher than 21. After considering what illegal combos existed, these are the ones I would recommend keeping. And this is like a maybe. Like, I'm really stretching here. The only one that for sure you keep is weapons plus super, which was previously mobility plus intellect, because that was even relevant in this epic contest raid. But yeah, that's just more damage in PvE, and that one could be a while before they power creep it with a set bonus. Hopefully Bungie sees that how critical of a balance issue that is, and maybe makes an armor set that already exceeds it sooner than later so we can move on. Or just gives us the illegal combo in a new archetype or something like that. I don't know. Anyway, weapons plus melee. That I would say you would want to go for if you're using Glaive with a very specific weapon where you're trying to clean up the Glaive projectile with something. I don't know what that is. You do the math if you want to keep it. Health plus grenade. Maybe you're playing sixes and you only play Dawnblade floating in the air, so you can kind of justify that combo. Weapons plus super, that's either PvE or a low grenade PvP build. And then finally, weapons plus melee is probably a PvE thing. Wait, I put that on twice. I guess the second reason was because it's PvE. But whatever, I see the mistake, we're just going to roll with it. The rest of the illegal combos you can delete, and in general, if a stat spike is at or below 25, you can probably delete it since the modern armor offers better. The other armor set bonuses. Build specific set ideas for PvP? The Trials 4 set gives you enhanced radar for a few seconds after a kill. Therefore, if you pair it with Ace of Spades or Mida Multi-Tool, which always have the radar up, it seems like a match made in heaven, and is probably the title of a video that's like playing Destiny the way Bungie intended. So I will do a video of that Trials 4 set just for fun. I don't actually think it's good. Smoke Jumper. 5% damage resistance after picking an orb. And I think you could use like powerful attraction dodging on Hunter or Titan heavy-handed to just get 5% DR after a melee you were going to do. Kind of sounds good on Titan, but I have to play PvE to get it, so not as good as Bushido. I am playing PvE twice. Bushido 4 times set. Bow, shotgun, or sword kill equals 2% damage resistance. I don't know, maybe you combine it with Renewal Grasp? I really don't know. But it seems really easy to activate with the bow, because you get the other Bushido 2 set easily activated. Since to kill a person with the bow, you have to re-knock the arrow. Tekkak. This one disappointed me so much to the point where I think it's bugged and/or deserving of a buff. So maybe hold on to this for just a little bit. I deleted it all out of my my vault because I really didn't have that much. But if you already farmed out a perfect set, keep it anyway. It gives you a 15% damage bonus to constructs, and it only works on barricades and bubbles, but not stasis crystals and not overshields like it specifies in the perk description. Photogalvanic, I believe that was the Solstice armor. It gives anti-flinch on solar weapons for healing. And yes, an overshield counts as healing, which means you can go to exactly 101 class ability, dodge, and you'll get the anti-flinch. And you can combine it with Cerd Arachnid for even more anti-flinch. I am jealous I didn't keep any of this in my vault, not to mention it was not going to be tier 5 armor anyway, so I didn't really miss anything. Again, I was kind of casually playing, logging my time, only playing PvP, chipping away, while everyone else was in the Caldera Mine speedrunning. Last Discipline 4 times set. Orbs give more special ammo progress. I have no idea how this works, but maybe you could use it for a grenade launch or cleanup build, or perhaps just abuse Izanagi's Burden in a certain game mode. Could be kind of funny. Epic Desert Perpetual Armor 2 times set. Picking up special ammo auto reloads from reserves. I think that's an alternative to holster mods, and I could see some really cool montage clips where you like Peacekeeper burnt down a person with the SMG, ammo drops on the floor, slide over it, Cloud Strike auto reloads, and then you just dome two people. Any set bonuses not mentioned don't really seem like it has a chance to be better than stacking all the health related armor together. Which makes me wonder what kind of armor sets we'll see in the future. Future set bonuses I'd like more than Bushido or Iron Banner. Hipfire accuracy. If I do recall, they did say this could be a Tex Mechanica set that we haven't seen yet, so I'm still holding my breath. Off radar, longer on crouch, maybe while at full health, maybe full super, I don't know. But going off radar longer, better for dynamic gameplay. Not using or having a super equals some kind of benefit. And I truly mean not having, like if they could just remove the super bar and give a benefit, I think that would be sick. I would definitely sacrifice some armor there. Aerial effectiveness. Strafe speed. Echo of Persistence Fragment. The Desert Perpetual Armor had a 4x bonus that essentially gave you longer Radiant and Sever, but if you were already using the Fragment to do that, you only got like a 1 second benefit, which is functionally nothing when you're comparing it to healing with Bushido. Right. So what it realistically does, that 4x set, might as well just say you can pick a different solar fragment on your build. And I hate to say there's just not a lot of interesting choices that you would ever take over the healing. However, on Void, there are many more interesting fragments to me. So they gave us Echo of Persistence on that 4x set, I would most likely run it. Anyway, feel free to add to this in the comment section. If you could think of an interesting, maybe not extremely overpowered set bonus that you would like to see in the game. If you appreciated my PowerPoint, feel free to drop by my stream at twitch.tv/cammycakes, where you can show future support with a subscription or a donation. And if I miss that donation, let me know in chat so I can thank you properly, because I don't have any on-screen notifications enabled. Yes, I know that's like status quo on Twitch or whatnot, but I just keep it very low-key when I stream. I'm mainly a YouTuber, so I just play video games on Twitch, and I'm there to say thank you. Thanks for watching my YouTube videos. In the future, I will offer coaching along with other services like build tuning, vault cleaning, etc. And that's it. That's the PowerPoint. Thanks again, friends.